everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews, and joining me today is Mike Prosciutto of the DVE Morning Show and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Guys, it's Friday, so we're going to play Let's Face It. We're taking questions on Twitter using hashtag Live@4. We have a lot to get to. So how are you guys doing? It's Friday, but technically it's Thursday in the schedule.
No, it's Friday. Yeah. I don't care what the football people say. It is Friday.
I hate that change of day stuff.
Right.
Bring me the Twitter questions. Let's go to Let's Face It. We're doing
it. All right, well, let's get started with the injury report from practice today. We updated you yesterday, but guys who did not practice again today, Cortez Allen, with that ankle, Le'Veon Bell, obviously, with his foot. Limited again was Heath Miller. Full participation, guys who were limited yesterday, Curtis Brown, Steve McClendon, and Sean Sweezum. One that kind of sticks out to me, of course, is Cortez Allen Labs.
Yeah, and that's going to be something I think that might go right up until Monday afternoon at some point. Cortez Allen has that sprained ankle. The Steelers would like for him to be able to be on the field, but you cannot put a hobbled Cortez Allen out there, not with the weapons that the Bengals are going to have at their disposal Monday night. So if Cortez Allen plays, things will be pretty much as usual. Will Gay will be the third corner. If Cortez Allen can't go, my assumption is that William Gay will move into the starting lineup. We'll probably see Shamarco Thomas as the primary nickelback in that situation.
Mike, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say there's two names that are sticking out from my perspective whenever I see lists such as the one we just had, and those would be Heath Miller and Le'Veon Bell. You know, the Steelers were a team that struggled offensively against the Tennessee Titans, to put it mildly. And in the wake of that game, Mike Tomlin said they wanted to take a look at Heath Miller and what he can do in practice. Heath Miller said after Wednesday's practice that he did a little bit of everything, but he's still on a limited basis. And Le'Veon Bell, while out of his boot, is now is still out of practice, I should say. So, no passes of any consequence to the tight end in the first game, and problems at running back. Well, there's a lot of offense on that list, Bob.
Yeah, I don't expect Heath Miller to play on Monday night. I do expect Sean Sweezum to kick, however. So, we'll see what happens, though.
All right, well, let's move on to the run game. A lot of things to improve, obviously, in week two. We spoke to Isaac Redman after practice today.
This week is, a dire win. You know, we need this. Everybody's been working hard all week, including myself. We need to have a bounce back performance, including myself. So the only way you get better is to work harder. That's what I've did personally all week long.
Todd and Coach both kind of said, obviously, when Pouncey went out, that was a big letdown for the entire offense. Do you feel like that kind of changed things for you when he was there, and then Beach obviously had to move?
I don't feel like it changed anything for me. It definitely was a big letdown, though, for our whole team. He's a captain on this team. He's captain of offense, leader of the O-line room. And it was just tough to see him go down, but that's the nature of the game. Injuries happen, and you just got to be able to continue to perform.
What's it like having Dwyer back?
It's good to have somebody back in the room that I actually know. he's a cool guy. We're friends, so it's nice to have him back.
What's going to make the run game work this week?
More better execution. All the way around, from the running back room and the O-line room to the receivers. Everybody just has to do things better, and hopefully we can get back on track.
Do you anticipate you'll start?
Hopefully.
Mike, do you think Isaac Redman's going to be starting on Monday night?
I would assume he's going to be starting on Monday night. As to whether or not he finishes, I think that's going to be determined by how he carries the ball. What we're looking at here is are some of the problems the Steelers had offensively. But Labs, in that second half, when they went 0-for-6 on third and whatever, they were all third and manageable or third and short. It was a disaster, but it didn't have to be that way. A play here, a play there, and things might have been different. Of course, the biggest play here, play there that could have been different was the one we just watched, that the fumble into the end zone. But as bad as things looked at times on Sunday, and they looked bad, it's not going to take a whole lot to change that and get it rolling a little bit, maybe get some momentum and get some rhythm.
Yeah, one of the things I think that needs to change, however, is, I think Isaac Redman, he was excited about getting a chance to start, get maybe chance to be the guy. You know, Isaac Redman needs to remember to just play within himself. He's not a spin move, you know, bounce outside kind of running back. I mean, Isaac Redman is a hit it up in there between the tackles, make guys miss, run forward as far as he can, and then go down as difficulty as possible. So, you know, that's one of the things that needs to change. And if it does, if guys start doing what they can do instead of trying to be what they are not, I think there will be some better results on Monday night.
Let's take a Twitter question while we're talking about offense. This is from @LoyalSteeler. He says, I believe the Steelers need to go into the no-huddle offense earlier in the game. Mike, what do you think about that?
A couple things. I'm a big fan of the no-huddle. I think Ben Roethlisberger is pretty good at running the no-huddle, but you have to have protection, and you have to have some sort of running game established before you do that stuff in anything other than a two-minute situation at the end of a half or the end of a game. There's a lot of things that they could do. There are a lot of possibilities, a lot of options. I'd like to see them throw deep more. I'd like to see them do this. I'd like to see them do that. No protection, no running game. None of it's going to work.
All right, another Twitter question. This one is about the O-line. @GraceBiggs wants to know, Labs, besides transactions, what will it take to improve the O-line?
Well, I mean, time. You know, I really believe that what these guys need the most is time to, get familiar with themselves and get familiar with what is expected of them as a group. I mean, I really do believe that these four young guys that we're talking about, Mike Adams, Marcus Gilbert, David DeCastro, and Kelvin Beachum, in whatever role he might have now, have the ability to be, you know, above the line contributors on the offensive line for a team that can maybe compete for a playoff spot. It didn't happen against the Tennessee Titans, but I think that what needs to happen is you can't start making a lot of wholesale changes now and panicking. These are your guys. You got to try and figure out what they can do and do that. Try to settle things down. Change right now, I don't believe, would be the way to go.
All right, let's move on to the Cincinnati Bengals and take a listen to Ryan Clark, who gives a brief scouting report on the Bengals' offense.
I think the thing you look at Cincinnati, first of all, they drafted extremely well. All those guys are homegrown guys that started an organization. Tyler Eifert, he just adds another aspect to what you can do with the two tight end set. I think kind of got popularized by the New England Patriots, and now they have two guys who are like bodies, and that's tough to stop. Obviously, AJ, I think he's one of the top receivers in the league. He's definitely an elite guy. Body control-wise, hands-wise, I think he's probably second to none in that category. If there's a guy who's even on his level, you may say Calvin Johnson, but that would be it. So they present problems all over the field for you, especially in pass coverage and being able to match up with those guys using safeties and linebackers inside. Don't worry about AJ so much because we have Ike, and Ike's followed him before and played against him and played well against him, and we did a good job with him. But now infusing the two tight ends is going to be difficult.
All right, guys, let's start with the quarterback. Obviously a big difference from last year, but he does have more offensive weapons to go to, Mike.
He does, and he likes to get to him just the way he did it there, a little play action and a little rollout. Andy Dalton's not a guy that sits back there and holds the ball. He's not a guy that puts himself in position to get sacked. There you see him from the shadow of their own goal line, Labs. He rolls out and hits Tyler Eifert, the number one pick. There's a hitch and then a deep ball to A.J. Green. You will see the Bengals try this two or three times, whether he is covered or not, whether he is open or not. It's part of the deal. Andy Dalton loves going A.J. Green. There's another one into a crowd. Andy Dalton looks to me, as he continues to mature in the NFL, as a guy who's starting to trust his arm and trust the players around him, the guys on the other end of these passes. They will take shots. They will take some chances. There's yet another deep ball to A.J. Green out of that pump fake, and there's the result, Bob. Touchdown.
Yeah, the Bengals added those two tight ends, Tyler Eifert, to combine with Jermaine Gresham. But this is not the New England Patriots kind of, you know, throw the balls to the tight ends kind of offense. As you mentioned, the Bengals have A.J. Green. He is a legitimate down the field threat, all pro caliber kind of guy. And as you mentioned, Andy Dalton will throw it to him whether he appears to be open or not. So even though they like to get the ball to the tight ends a lot, if you cheat up on those guys, they will burn you down the field with A.J. Green.
All right, let's move on to the Bengals defense and talk about James Harrison. Jason Worlds talked in the locker room this afternoon about what Harrison meant to him when he was here with the Steelers.
James was a great professional, you know, a guy who came in and put forth his best effort day in and day out. So it's going to be exciting to see him on the field.
What did you learn from him in your time you guys had together?
Really just how to approach the game day in and day out. You know, a guy who put 100% effort into his work every day. So, if anything, that was the most, yeah, head and shoulders, and head and shoulders.
Talk to me about the rotation at outside linebacker. Does that work for you guys? Do you think that that's keeping bodies healthy? It's keeping legs fresh?
I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we have to do what the coaches say. So, you know, it's the coaches' call, and they feel as though it's the best for the team. So we're going to continue to do that.
Do you personally like it?
It's best for the team, you know. So as long as we put wins in the winning bracket, then we can't complain.
Okay, before we even get to James Harrison, let's just
savvy pitch man.
Yes, I did not just play Jason Worlds because Troy was in the background, but you have to admit that was pretty funny. Head and shoulders, in case if you didn't know.
Guy's not an all-pro for nothing. Can't coach that kind of talent.
No, and their wherewithal, too. I mean, getting the job done when it didn't look like you were going to have an opportunity to make a play.
It might almost be as easy, Bob, as playing defense behind that front four of the Cincinnati Bengals. And when I say front four, I mean front eight. They had eight guys in the game in the first quarter against the Bears. They love every one of their defensive linemen. That didn't even factor in Margus Hunt. If you watched Hard Knocks, the communist block, the guy who got all the camera time
right
on Hard Knocks, he didn't even dress. But, man, they come at you in waves four at a time, and it makes it a lot easier on those linebackers.
Yeah, that first wave, though, that's the one to me. I mean, you know, the Geno Atkins thing, he is a force that you have to deal with on every snap that he is on the field. And what Geno Atkins does then, because you have to deal with him most often with one guy plus another one at least paying attention to him, if not downright helping the other guy, that sets up one-on-ones with the other three defensive linemen, with three of your offensive linemen. So, you know, Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap are pretty formidable players in their own rights, but Geno Atkins' presence and what he demands from the opposing offense makes them all the better.
All right. Well, speaking of James Harrison, it is time to start playing Let's Face It, and Ike Taylor is going to introduce us to our first guest.
Like we care what James talking about, man. Tell James, ain't nobody worrying about James or what he be talking about. He over there, he snitching. That's what he doing, so he need to stop all that snitching. Wayne saying nothing over here, so you might as well keep your mouth closed. James, a.k.a. Silverback.
James?
Any questions? Good.
Hi, I'm Felix Jones, and y'all may know me, even though I've only been here for a little while, and I just want to let everyone know that I am ready to play on Monday night against the Bengals. I understand after the Titans game, it was brought up that, you know, I wasn't in the game because, you know, maybe I didn't have a firm grasp of the playbook. But I just want everyone to remember that, you know, when the Steelers got me in the trade from Philadelphia, you know, I came here, I didn't even get to practice once, had a walkthrough in a hotel ballroom, and then was able to play against the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, hold my own. So I'm ready. I also know people think that giving me the ball too much will end up with me getting hurt, as has happened to me in the past. But hey, this team is 0-1. It needs to start winning games. I think I can help. Give me a chance.
Hey, I'm Andy Dalton, and I'm one of the quarterbacks in the AFC North Division. No, I have not won two Super Bowls the way Ben Roethlisberger has. I have not won one Super Bowl the way Joe Flacco has, but I'm going for it this year, and my team's going for it as well. You saw some of my highlights. I'm going to let it fly. I've got A.J. Green, one of the best receivers in the league. I have young legs. I have ball handling skills, so I'm going to bootleg. I'm going to roll out. I'm going to rip it down the field. I have not one but two great tight ends to find. Steelers, you better get some pressure on me at Paul Brown Stadium Monday night, because if you don't, I'm going to pick you apart.
Hi, I'm William Gay. Welcome. I just want to let all Steelers Nation know that I'm back. I know y'all love to hate me, but I just want to point one thing out. I was the only defensive back in the opener to make any plays on the football. I broke up two passes against the Titans. One of the ones I broke up almost was intercepted. I know almost doesn't really count for anything in the National Football League, but, you know, I still think I can play a little bit of football for this team. And, you know, if my man Cortez Allen isn't able to go on Monday night, I'm going to be in the starting lineup. I'll probably get some chances to line up against A.J. Green, and I'm going to make it as difficult for him as is humanly possible for me.
Well, I have to say you have the smallest head I've ever seen.
It's because I'm a team guy. I do not have a big head.
All right, I'll take it. Well, that does it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. Don't forget, there is practice tomorrow, so we'll have coverage on Steelers.com. Monday, of course, is the game. Tuesday, Mike Tomlin's press conference at noon, followed by another edition of Steelers.com Live at 4 o'clock. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy, and for the rest of these knuckleheads,
hey,
have
James,
a great
I got a
night
question
and
for
a
you.
Great weekend.
You think you can catch me, James? Do you think you can catch me?